We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to the 13th chapter of the Sha'ar HaDat. And we're up to page Peites. And Magid Midubna had been discussing the verse in Tehillim. HaShemayim Mesaprim Kvod Ke'el. The heavens recount the honor of God. And there's a description of how nature itself, so to speak, speaks forth the praise of God, up to the point where the verse says, Torah Hashem Tmima, and Hashem's Torah is whole, etc. And the Torah says that, the verse over there says, that just as the sun gives light to the earth, and that benefits the human beings, so too the Torah gives light to the soul, and gives benefit to our minds. And just as the eye has receptors and the eye is ready to accept the light, so too the mind has its receptors and it's ready to accept the wisdom. And the Torah is really a spring, a source, a wellspring of knowledge and understanding. And whatever a person encounters in his life, he could find the solution in the Torah if only he knows how to look. And he continues and says, V'chein timtza b'Torah teva kol b'riya. In the Torah, you could find the nature of each creature, ma'alacha v'toldata, the way it functions and it's the way it procreates, zivuga v'ibura. You can understand, if you only know how to read the Torah, you can understand how animals mate and how they get pregnant. We saw that in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, right? The Gemara discusses from the Psukim how we know when is the mating season for different animals and when animals give birth. Kasau tzona, what makes certain animals angry, what placates different animals. Me'em asher yichad lehem makom b'Torah, some places the Torah directly discusses this subject. U'me'em amuvim b'derech agavolcha, and others are just mentioned in passing. B'derech chida u'mlitza, sometimes they're mentioned allegorically. Kamo, as you find the verse, k'ayal ta'arok, as an ayal, which might be some type of ubek, some type of ram, how it raises its head over the waters and pleads before God as it's looking for waters. Pagosh dov shakul, you have another verse that describes that you're better off meeting a bear that lost its child rather than meeting a fool. The Torah indicates to you what are the things that will arouse a bear, what are the things that get the ram. If you're traveling, you want to know where to find water. If you just have Ubex traveling, you could look at them and they give certain indications of where there's water. So the Torah isn't directly telling you, okay, how do you find water in the desert? The Torah isn't directly telling you, don't get a bear upset by starting up with its cubs. But in passing, the Torah uses examples where the examples themselves are informative. And the Torah is filled with advice, and it gives us justice and wisdom for everything that's under the sun and above the sun. And you won't find anything that the Torah did not really give you information about. The Torah tells, really, if you only know how to decipher the Torah, you can find within the Torah relevance to where does something begin, where its middle, its end, the antithesis of things, the cause, the metaphysical cause, how it's fixed, how it's ruined, its timings, its sources, where things come from, where they're going to. Just as we know with regards to the animals and the different creatures and birds and creepy crawly creatures, you could know from the Torah their gestation period, how when they give birth. If you try by experimentation, after many years you won't get it. Even if a person dedicates his life to figure these things out, but if you really delve into Torah, you could find all these set out before a person. Because there's nothing in the Torah, there's nothing in the world that the Torah did not reveal all the information you want to know about it. The question is, do you know how to find it in the Torah? Most of us don't. That's the difficult part. People ask me, are there Martians? I don't know. But if I knew how to look in the Torah, I could answer you. Is there any life outside planet Earth? I don't know. Chances are not. But I don't have a direct verse that indicates one way or another. There's the famous story of the Ramban. That's quoted by the Ramban's disciple. That the Ramban said that in the song of Hazinu is the... in the song of Ahazinu, the song that Moshe signs off the Torah with, there's the life of every Jew. And the Ramban had a disciple who refused to accept that, and he became an apostate, and he became a priest. And one day, one Yom Kippur, he invited the Ramban to his church. And when the Ramban came in, so after speaking to the Ramban about different things, he said to him, "You know why I left Judaism? Because you once said something so ridiculous I couldn't accept it. You said that every Jew exists in this song, and I don't believe it. I don't believe there can be such a song. So you tell me where my name appears in the song of Azinu." So the Ramban went off to the corner and prayed, and came back. And God showed it to him. He came back and said to him a verse that says... God says when he's upset at the Jewish people, Amalti af ehim, I said I will banish them, Ashbita me'enosh zicham, I will remove their remembrance from all of humanity. And the Ramban showed him how the third letter in each of those words spells out his name, Avner, af ehim, the third letter is an aleph, Ashbita, the third letter is a beis, Me'enosh, the third letter is a nun, Zicham, the third letter is a resh. And of course, when Avner heard that, he was taken aback. And he left his position, and he took a boat out to the middle of the river, and he committed suicide, afflicting himself with all four death penalties, and he left behind the letter asking that he should be forgiven for all that he did all those years. Now, this story is quoted the next generation. The Ramban's disciple was the Rashba, and the Rashba's disciple was Rabbi Yeshua ibn Shu'ib. So it could be Rabbi Yeshua ibn Shu'ib actually was around when the story happened. He was at least the disciple of the Ramban's disciple. So we have a quote of this story in Toshot Rabbi Yeshua ibn Shu'ib on Parshas Hazinu, I think. I think that's where he quotes it. So that's pretty close to the event happening. But you see, even the Ramban, he didn't have a guarantee. Avner asked him, he prayed, and then he saw it. They say that the Gruz disciples asked him, if everything's in the Torah, where is the Rambam mentioned in the Torah? So the Gruz told them, it says in the Pasuk, in Shmos, it says, Leman revot moftai be'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem says, so that I will make my great miracles in the land of Mitzrayim. That spells out Rambam. Revot Moftai Be'eretz Mitzrayim is the first letter spell out Rambam. And Rambam was in Egypt. Maimonides was in Egypt. Okay, so the Gra could do that. I mean the Gra. I don't know if he could do it for everyone. big people were able to figure out more things from the Torah. But at the end of the day, this is the tradition we have, that the Torah is all-encompassing. And this concept that he's explaining over here is we're also learning this concept in our Friday classes in the Ramban, in Nachmanides' work, Drashat Torah Hashem Tmima. He didn't invent this concept. Really, this concept goes back to the Torah, and we learned this concept in the Drashot Aran as well. We learned this in the Ran speeches also. This is a very important concept, that the Torah's wisdom is all-encompassing. Now, that doesn't mean we'll always be able to figure out all the answers. That doesn't mean that everything we figure out is correct. The Torah is true. The question is what we figure out from the Torah true or not? So a person has to have tradition, and a person has to know how to derive things from the Torah and pray that he gets it right. But at the end of the day, we do say that all forms of wisdom are encompassed in the Torah, and that's the point that he's starting to explain here. He's in the middle of a thought, and should we continue? He's going to give us an example. Okay, maybe we'll do another 2 minutes. We'll hear his example. Take a look. He brings an example of what our sages said in the Talmud, in Bechoros, and in the Medrash. One of our sages was Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. That's the famous Rabbi Yeshua that appears throughout the Mishnah. He was a tremendous astronomer. He was a blacksmith, and he was unusually intelligent. He was terribly looking. The Roman emperor's daughter once asked him, how could such a wise person look so bad? And he said, they're just like you store wine in earthenware vessels. God stores wisdom in people that are like earthenware. They look cheap. But Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya was admired by the philosophers and the Romans, and they took counsel with him. And a philosopher once asked him, Nachash necham shanim abeu molid, how many years does it take a snake to be pregnant and give birth? Amalo l'sheva shanim. He said to him, take 7 years. Amalo minayin. He asked him, how do you know? Amalo hakelev chayat me'ah uchtiv arutam kol habeimah. He explained to him the whole derivation process from the curse of the snake, how he figured it out. So the philosopher started banging his head against the wall. He said, I worked for 10 years. We did scientific experimentations for 10 years. I've been working to figure out how long does it take a snake to give birth. And you give it to me, you just hand it over to me like that. You also find King Solomon. King Solomon says, I analyzed and I searched all wisdom, all sciences in understanding what's going on under the heaven. And this is what our sages say about this verse. King Solomon was a great tourist. He didn't only tour the Torah, but he toured every type of science, everything that was going on under the sun. He even wanted to understand how you could be the best cook. He wanted every form of wisdom. How do you take tumus and chaldal, two bitter, chaldal is mustard seeds, and tumus is some kind of lentil, some kind of bean that you have to cook for 7 times. You have to cook for a very long time before it gets sweetened. He wanted to figure out how you could change all of that. Maybe he figured out the DNA. I don't know. ומאין הייתה זאת לשלמה המלך עליו השלום שהטיר לעצמו לחקור בחוכמות כאלה ולהיבטל מדברי תורה וכבר היה מעשה שאל בן דמה בן אחותו של רבי שמואל רבי שמואל כגון אני שלמדתי כל תורה מהו ללמוד חוכמת יוונית and God held it against them. God said how could you did you figure out all the wisdom in the Torah that you're going to seek out other wisdoms and how did King Solomon allow himself to seek out other things. It says in the Talmud that Ben Dama, who was Rabbi Shmuel's nephew, he asked him, I learned Torah, could I go learn Greek wisdom? Amar lo k'tiv, he said to him, it says in the verse, the Torah is something you have to delve in day and night. He says to him, okay, find an hour that's not day or night, and then you could study the Greek wisdom. You're supposed to be studying Torah day and night. If you have free time, what are you going and reading Greek philosophy for? Spend the time learning Torah. So here there's discussion among the commentators. What was he telling him? Was he actually telling him a time? Or was he telling him there is no time? Rashi learns, he told him, you don't have such a thing as free time. If you have free time, go learn Torah. So he's saying, what's the idea? The idea is that if you can get all the wisdoms from the Torah, so then why should you spend your time learning other wisdoms? It's known that the Gra wrote a math book. And the Gra illustrates how different things are from the Torah. And you see it also in Rashi. This needs a further expansion because there's a letter by the Rambam's son, Amandi's son, where he discusses science and what we do learn from the nations and the wisdoms of science. And that the rabbis in the Talmud did take certain wisdoms when it comes to the sciences from the nations of their time. So we can't take this at face value. This needs further discussion before being applied practically. Meaning, did Maimonides learn all his medicine from the Torah, or did he go take classes in medicine? Are we going to tell a doctor, go learn the Torah, or do we say, yes, technically all these wisdoms are there, but we don't necessarily have access to them. We don't know how to get this out of the Torah. This needs more discussion before being applied practically. Yes, we spend our time learning Torah. Yes, the Torah has all the wisdoms within it, but we don't know how to get all of it out of the Torah. So we do need doctors, and we do need other things. And if a person is going to choose livelihood, it's good to choose a profession where you help people. And being that you can't learn to be a doctor from the Torah, so you got to go to medical school. So this needs further discussion for practical applications. Yes.
Like all the other, like all like the idol worshiping religions and things like that. here's like